I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, this is what we need to do here. 913-576-7610. Rob, come to the forefront. We'll go through our AFC rankings here. And why you have certain teams ranked where you have them. We're out of Rob original songs. Mitch has heard every song that you've done. I mean, you've given us some timeless classics. You've given us hits. The well is now dry. Cody has given us about 10 different clips of audio that we can play. But that's their show. We have a guest, Rob, that enjoys your musical talent. We got to feed it. Your musical talent is like a plant. We got to water it. We got to cultivate it. We need more timeless records like this.
You're like, I've never seen a white person before. Jaws on the floor like Pam, like Tommy just burst through the door and started whooping around worse than before. They were first divorced, throwing over furniture, and the return of the all way, no way, you're kidding. He didn't just say what I think he did he? Dr. Dre said, nothing, you idiot, Dr. Dre's dead. He's locked in my basement.
We need more slaps. So this is what we're going to do before we get back to very, very serious matters, like talking about week 7 football in the NFL. We need some song suggestions. Let's stay in the rap genre. You know, let's go to a place that you feel uncomfortable. You know, I'm guessing you could maybe knock out a country song. Maybe you grew up listening to Blink 182 that you could get your Good Charlotte on. You know what I mean? But that's not what we want here. We're thinking classic old school rap right up your alley for Mitch. That's what we have to do for our guests to make them feel welcome and part of the family. So 913-576-7610, suggest some rap songs so we can keep Mitch happy and wanting to come back and talk football with us. I enjoy talking football. I'm worried that he won't come talk football with us anymore if Rob's not providing the slaps.
I'm expressing with my full capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight, meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he says it gets funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat, and that'll make you think.
It'll make you think. I'm thinking, Rob.
That one's not my worst one. That one's playable.
I'm thinking we need some more. Now that's what I call Mitch Volume 1. We need to give Mitch just weekly tunes. Weekly bops for your head top. That's what we're going to call them. Bops for your head top. That's what we need. So if you can go through the text line and write down suggestions, and then every week we'll play them for him. We'll play them. You can... Don't you want to spread joy and cheer and love?
I will do this. Can we get out of the old? Does it have to be old school? Can it be any rap?
It's whatever you feel in your heart. It's whatever you feel. I can't tell you when the groove hits. So whenever you feel the groove, just go in there and give us a little 20-second ditty. That's all we're asking for. We're not asking for much. Just give me a quick little Summertime by Will Smith. That's all we're asking for. Whatever you feel.
I'll work with the text line, and I'll come up with some fresh hits for the upcoming
weeks. See, y'all trying to sign Rob up. Somebody said, I want to hear Rob do some Busta Rhymes, Break Your Neck. Rob, keep Rob in the 2 to 4 degree of difficulty. You trying to put Rob like he doing Missy Elliott. Stop it. Why are y'all doing that to Rob? Y'all trying to put Rob in the deep end of the pool. He's just learning how to swim. Let's keep Rob in the 2 to 4 degree of difficulty. Busta Rhymes is that. Stop it. Twista, stop it. Regulators by Warren G. That's a 2 to 4 degree of difficulty. Rob can do that. I got you, Rob. I'm not going to let the text line set you up for failure.
I mean, I wasn't going to ever pick Busta. You know what?
They got you doing Look At Me Now on the text line. I'm not going to do that to you.
I'm bad. I'm not sitting here being – I'm not like Cody who thinks he's good. I'm bad.
No, you're real bad.
But I know within my lane of badness what I can and can't do.
That's fair.
Busta would be – a special brand of ad. I don't think Mitch would even enjoy it. He'd be like, what song is this? As I mumble through it.
I mean, to be fair, you're mumbling through these songs too. No, I mean, it's not like you're only mumbling through the fast songs. Nothing, you idiot. It just makes me laugh. It makes me happy. I hope that it makes you happy. All right, Rob, let's do a very simple exercise before Jay Binkley comes into the studio. I think there's 5 contenders in the AFC. Do you agree? I think there's 5 contenders.
Yes, there are 5 teams.
Buffalo, Los Angeles, Tennessee, Baltimore, Kansas City.
Yes.
I think there's 5 contending teams.
Hurts me to have Tennessee on there, but you're right.
Yes, Tennessee is a contending team.
I said
Stop
you're right.
It.
I okay, said you're all right.
So let's only evaluate those 5, and we'll do it degree of contender. So we don't got to do it based off right now in this exact moment. Who do you see as the most likely to make the Super Bowl out of that group? Who's the least likely to make the Super Bowl out of that group? All right, Rob, hit it.
So I should start with my number 5. I think we all know who my number 5 is.
Of course.
The Tennessee Titans.
Absolutely.
It is the year 2021. A team that relies on Larry Johnson part deux is not a Super Bowl contender. The riffraff of the AFC is just so much. They come in at 5. Thank you very much. Tell me about how he's good, but he plays the worst position in the NFL.
Okay. Feel how you want to feel about Derrick Henry. Calling him Larry Johnson part duh is disrespectful. Stop it. You know better than that. You know better than that. Larry Johnson? That's what we're calling Derrick Henry? Super Larry Johnson.
Part duh. Getting 300 carries between the tackles. Eventually it gives out. Larry Johnson.
All right. Number 5 team for me is going to be the Baltimore Ravens. This is why. Eventually, I think the injuries catch up to them. And if you want to talk about a team who is standing on the least firm ground, it's them. They should have lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. They should have lost to the Detroit Lions. They should have lost to the Indianapolis Colts. Now, they have some impressive wins. They also, to me, have looked the shakiest out of the group when it comes to the high end. I think eventually some of that luck runs out. I think they're the least likely out of these 5 teams to make the Super Bowl. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens at 5.
It's interesting you say that because I have the Baltimore Ravens at 4. I think the NFL season is a battle of attrition, and they just can't continue to lose bodies the way they're losing bodies and keep winning at this high level. Lamar is the MVP. He's transcendent. Eventually, having 16 dudes on IR catches up to you. They're at 4.
Are we going to – so it sounds to me like we basically have swapped Tennessee and Baltimore.
Okay, yeah.
Because I have Tennessee at 4. I actually think Tennessee's pretty complete. I like this Tennessee team. I don't think there's that much of a difference between Tennessee and the team that I'm going to put at number 1 on this list. I think we saw that yesterday with those 2 teams playing each other. I just maybe feel a little bit more confident in the other 3 teams' quarterbacks than I feel about them. So I would put Tennessee at 4, Baltimore at 5 in terms of most likely to go to the AFC, to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I have Kansas City at 3.
So do I.
Out of these 2 teams. I have Kansas City at 3. Now, this is where I struggle. I think that Los Angeles' defense is better than Kansas City's defense, and that's the only reason why I have them ahead of Kansas City. I also think that Los Angeles' defense is worse at something defensively than Kansas City's is. I also think, though, that it's the easiest thing for them to correct and get to league average. They're dead last in rush defense. This is to me where if you're Los Angeles, you got to be aggressive at the deadline to just pick up bodies that you think can help you stop the run. You don't need premium pass rushers. I think you got that. You need big bodies. You need big Mike Pinnell types that you can have clog up the middle and that you think can help you stop the run. That's what I think you really need. So I have Baltimore as 5, Tennessee at 4, Kansas City at 3. I have the Chargers at 2. And I have Buffalo at 1. That's how I'd rank contenders from start to finish right now in the AFC.
It's funny because we thought we'd do this exercise. It'd be very different. We only just swapped 5 and 4. I agree with you on Kansas City. I agree with you on LA. LA has so much talent on defense and a defensive-minded head coach. I think they are more likely to get it fixed than Kansas City. And I think Buffalo's the best team in the NFL. If Josh Allen doesn't slip last night, they're 5-1, having thumped Kansas City and beaten another competitor both those games on the road. Their schedule lightens up. They're the easy one seed. I got Buffalo at 1.
I am both interested in the fact that I know we're up against a break here. Both of us put Baltimore pretty clearly behind Los Angeles when we just saw them play each other, and Los Angeles got smoked in that scenario. Like, absolutely smoked. I think the Chargers are going to get their run defense to league average, and I also just think the Los Angeles is better than the team that we saw play Baltimore this week. That was sort of the blitzkrieg bop that they encountered. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined in studio by Jay Binkley. If there's anybody that can really sell you on this defense, it'll be Binkley. We'll do that next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think our defense is really built to be aggressive. Obviously, we could play 2-shell, and you know, we could play different variations of cover 2. I think that's what we're best at as far as our secondary goes. But I think anytime you can, you know, get 6-7 man pressures, you can really set your defensive lineup to really be hungry, have fun. It's just on the outside. You know, obviously we got to make plays and cover. I thought Fenton did a great job today. You know, really stepping up. Thought Wine played well. This is one of those games you want to keep building off.
Bink is here.
What's up, C-Dot?
I'm doing fantastic, Bink. How are you doing today, man?
We're doing good, my man.
It's great to see you.
Good to see you.
You seem in very great spirits at the Chiefs defense.
No, stop that, man. Stop that.
The Chiefs defense played their best football so far this
they
year.
They did.
They played their best football so far this year.
Yeah, they've moved down to 28th in yards allowed. They're not the worst defense in the NFL anymore. So, yeah, it's a progress.
I got asked this question on Sunday Sound Off. Let's start with this.
What, the Tigers questions?
No,
there's a lot of Tigers questions.
We're definitely going to talk about the Missouri Tigers today. I would not be doing my job if I didn't ask you about the Tigers today, as they have a very important decision coming up here in a little bit. Are the Chiefs more like the first half team or the second half team, in your opinion?
I think they're more like the second half team than the first, because that's who you expect the Chiefs offense to be. They were in rhythm. They were clicking. The chemistry was there. Mahomes was back to doing Mahomes-like things, even though that offense was still good. I mean, I think people get it wrong and think this offense was stagnant or whatever. It was fine. It was historically good for the few drives that they had. The turnovers are hurting them. But the defense played better. I mean, they should play decent against Washington. They held them to 11 points underneath their average. I think they're more like that second half, because the first half Chiefs team in Washington was a confused team. They were out of order, but the communication was terrible on offense and defense. So, yes, I think they're more the second half team.
I'm not going to lie. I am starting to be more and more concerned about the turnovers. We're reaching the point in the season where some of the traits that you have are who you are. Los Angeles, their run defense, it ain't good. We've seen 6 weeks of their rush
defense. That's an understatement.
Their defense is terrible at stopping the run. When it comes to turnovers, Mahomes has 15 interceptions in his last 15 starts. This offense has 14 turnovers in their last 18 quarters. And now with teams playing them in such a way that is forcing this team to have longer drives. They're forcing you to go 12 plays, 80 yards to score touchdowns, 15 plays to score touchdowns, and forcing you to go down the field 5-6 yards at a time. Just by definition, if your offense is going to be on the field for as long as this offense is, you're going to have more opportunities to create mistakes, to make mistakes, to have bad throws, to fumble the football. I'm a little bit worried about the turnovers. The one thing this season that they've done consistently is turn the football over.
And I'll say this. I think early in the season, they were pressing. And I think that's pretty evident from the things Andy Reid said, Patrick Mahomes. They were pressing, I feel, because the defense was playing so bad, the offense was playing hero ball. They thought they had to score touchdowns and score points every time they were on the field because the defense was going to put them in a situation where they had to do that. And I think if the defense does play better, it kind of calms down the offense a little bit. Well, they don't have to do everything. I mean, seeing those three straight, three announced by the Bills the week before, what you saw in the second half of that game, that stuff makes the offense better. It makes them just concentrate on themselves instead of worrying about how bad that defense is and how not only they have to worry about their own jobs, they have to worry about the jobs of the defense too, because they know they have to keep up in games and blow teams out and put up a lot of points on the scoreboard because the defense was letting them back in. So if the defense can play any better at all, I think it relaxes that offense. I have seen a lot more, and this week was a disappointment. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I know that Andy Reid says enough's enough, talking about these turnovers. Well, I thought that was kind of the mindset going into this game. You know, enough was enough. I mean, that should have been enough is enough before this game. Now, did the light bulb come on for this team? I hope. You've seen a lot more two hands wrapped around the football. You still had that interception there by Mahomes. But I was hoping that attitude of enough is enough was before this game, not at halftime of this game.
Yeah, and I wonder with this team, is the second half of the Washington game going to be the catalyst or the jump start to really get things moving? We talked about this with Mitchell Schwartz when he was just here earlier today. The Chargers game was for that team that won the Super Bowl. They went on the road in Mexico City. They beat Los Angeles. Sorensen got that interception, and they were able to springboard and use that momentum to really playing strong the last eight games defensively. You don't got to always do it against the top flight offense to start kind of building some momentum. And this stretch here kind of gives you the opportunity to make some changes on defense, to get some things right, to be able to push forward and just be better equipped to stop the Green Bays, to be better equipped to stop Dallas and some of the teams that have high powered offense.
It was night and day. 2019. They just played Tennessee. Tennessee did whatever they wanted. It was where King Henry wasn't having a great season before that Chiefs game. And they exploded from the Chiefs game on. But the 100 yards, that was the total. The highest total he had all year was 100 on the dot.
Still now. You know what
the
I mean?
Like, still going. Still now, the Chiefs woke him up, man. Derrick Henry became the beast that he is now in that Chiefs game. They go to Mexico City. They gave up 312 yards. The Chargers had 312 yards. The Chiefs had 109 in that first half. That is terrible. Then the Chiefs only allowed them to have 126 yards the whole second half. So, yeah, that Mexico City game against the Chargers, light bulb came on, and the defense never looked back. Now, can you hope this is part two of the light switch coming on with this defense? Maybe so, but I always look back at that Mexico City game. It's like, okay, things are possible if players start concentrating more on their jobs, their responsibilities, get the communication right, and start playing more sound fundamental football, which they haven't to this point.
It's not that surprising to me that this defense played its best game of the year when their defensive line played their best game of the year, when they forced turnovers in this game. Like, a lot of times defense is pretty simple. If you can get pressure with your defensive line and take the football away and then steal possessions from your opposition, It puts you in a favorable spot.
Because you have to. I mean, you go back to 2009. You remember that Drew Brees-led New Orleans Saints team? Mm-hmm. They won a Super Bowl. Their defense was bottom third with Greg Williams. But one thing was, they were third in turnover ratio. They were plus 10. And by the way, the team ahead of them was Andy Reid and the Eagles at plus 15 at that point. But they were opportunistic because the defense wasn't good. Their goal was to put Drew Brees on that football field as much as they could. So turnovers became kind of their MO. It became what their identity is creating turnovers, and the rest was history with that Saints. That's what I was hoping for the Chiefs. So thinking bottom third defense, okay, that is who and what they are at this point. There's no doubt about that. They're not going anywhere else. I think they're 28th now. They're not going to get higher than 23rd probably this season. But you got to flip these turnovers because right now they sit second in the NFL last at minus 8 and plus minus, and that's simply not something done. I will say this. The penalties have been good because the Chiefs have historically been bad in penalties, including first in the NFL 2 years ago. And those do kind of result – they're not turnovers, but kind of like it. Like if you have a big play on third down and then it's coming back with holding, it's not exactly a turnover, but, man, it flips that field. And what happens – penalties are bad. We saw what happened with Buffalo. They had Isaiah McKenzie had a touchdown, and then it comes all the way back. So at least that part is good. Because if that part was bad, like they've been bad in penalties the last couple of years, things would not be where they are right now.
The Chiefs make a change at right tackle. They go from Lucas Niang with the hamstring injury to Mike Rimmers. How do you think the Rimmers played on Sunday?
I think Rimmers played well. I really did. It was kind of weird how it worked because Chase Young was on him a lot. Chase Young was the one guy who said, the toughest tackle I played in college football when he was at Ohio State was Lucas Niang. When Lucas Niang and was at TCU, and TCU played Ohio State. So it was kind of weird. And he's battling through the injuries or whatever. But no, you play with the guys that are giving you the best chance to win. Is Rimmers, I know that Niang's got a little bit of an injury problem right now too. So I keep dancing with Rimmers at this point until you feel 100% confident in Niang. It's not nothing against Niang, but it's tough when you have three first-year players playing on the offensive line.
You think they're going back to Lucas Niang? Because you know how it goes.
I think it would take an injury to go back to him, to be quite honest with you. It would take. And Rimmers, let's just face it, his age and everything else, you expect Rimmers to be 100% healthy. Niang ends up playing at some point this season.
It just feels very symbolic of when the move happened. Now, I don't know his hamstring injury. I can't comment on that. But after the Buffalo game, in which they got beat pretty handedly. Yep. Like they got beat handedly against Buffalo. They then come out, and they were just leaking the information. Hey, we're making a change at safety. You guys can calm down. Hey, we know what you're saying about Sorensen. We'll make the change. They then make the change at linebacker, where Ben Neiman is off the field more. Now, he was back on the field because of the injury, but they made a pretty clear proclamation. Hey, we're going to ride with Willie Gay here. We're going to ride with Nick Bolton here, and Neiman's going to be kind of left out in this scenario. And then the exact same time that you make those changes, you make one other swap, and it was the player that we already were kind of 50-50 on. Creed Humphrey was pretty solidified. Trey Smith is pretty solidified. But we all kind of looked at Lucas Niang as the coin flip kind of piece. I actually thought the Rimmers were going to start the season at the beginning.
So did I. So does Agent. Remember his agent's tweet right at the beginning, like he's back to starting with the Chiefs?
I thought he was going to be the starting right tackle.
I think the Chiefs are realizing how important right tackle is. Because the Chase Youngs of the world, like the NFL doesn't care anymore. If you're playing the Chiefs, who are you going to put your best pass rusher against? Orlando Brown hasn't been perfect this year, but what are the better options? Orlando Brown or Lucas Niang going that game? And he's best, the best pass rushers flip-flop all the time. Different sides, they move all around. Boses of the world, they go from the left to the right. They move around sides. So does Chase Young. So Rimmers saw Chase Young. So it's what are you going to see? Like, if you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, you rushing against Orlando Brown or Lucas Niang the way it was before, or Rimmers at this point, you're picking Rimmers over Orlando Brown, and certainly Rimmers, I think, a step above Niang at this point.
Yeah, I think he is as well. I don't think the offensive line has maybe been the strength that we thought it was. Like, I remember having conversations with you in the offseason, and we thought that the offensive line could be top 10 in the NFL. I don't think they're that. I think their offensive line is capable, though. Like, you can win with the offensive line that the Chiefs have.
Well, it's a top 10 rushing team. They're ninth in the NFL in rushing, so it shows, you know, the run blocking of this team. They've given up 10 sacks now. It's 22nd in the league. And, of course, we've seen Mahomes kind of evade sacks now, too. Like, it's not just three-step drop and throw for Patrick Mahomes. He's had to move around and evade sacks in the pocket. They're 22nd in the NFL at giving up sacks, and they were at the bottom of the league. They weren't giving up sacks at all, but we've seen that number start to grow a little bit for the Chiefs.
I feel like some of the rushing stats are a little bit misleading
because
what we've seen so far. Mahomes has certainly swung the pendulum in their favor when it comes to it. And You went up against the Chargers rush defense that everybody can run against the Chargers, and the Eagles are also bottom five. And I'm not trying to take those games away. They did happen, but I mean, we then saw them against Buffalo. They could not run the football with their running backs against Buffalo. It was basically Mahomes on third down, just escaping and figuring out a way to go do it. They couldn't run the ball against Baltimore. They couldn't run the ball against Cleveland. I thought they ran the ball okay on Sunday. I'm not maybe as caught up in the yards per carry that everybody seems to be caught up with. I thought when they needed to run the football and it was clear they looked to Darrell Williams to do what his role was, I thought he was capable of doing that. We had Mitch Holthus on the show yesterday, and he talked about a play that Darrell Williams made that he thought kind of moved the momentum and shifted the momentum of the game. He also was a better short line, a short yardage back than they've had in quite some time. I like what Darrell Williams provided this offense.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it around the goal line where he kind of saw that the hole wasn't there, then he switched, went in the middle. It was actually a very good run by Darrell Williams. But, yeah, it was 3 yards of carry. Without Mahomes running, you know, they're sitting there with a little over 70 yards rushing as a team. A lot of people are making a big deal about the rushing in this game. It was actually the fewest total yards the Chiefs have had rushing in a month. It was this game here. It just stood out because they won the game and Darrell got in the end zone. I will say this. You feel a lot more confident, at least I do, on the third and ones. You know, when you're at the goal line, you know, being able to run the football without, you know, Mahomes magic or coming up with trick plays to get into the end zone. I feel a lot more comfortable in the Chiefs because, I mean, if you run to the left side, you're talking Orlando Brown, and his pedigree is, you know, from that Ravens offensive line of running the football, Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey. And then if you go to the right, you get Trey Smith. There's a lot more capable short yardage blocking in this team. Kind of like Clichy Osimile brought that to the Chiefs for the brief period of time that he played. But I feel a lot more comfortable in players picking up 1, 2, 3 yards. And that's exactly what Darrell Williams got was 3 yards.
It sucks for Jody Fortson. I don't even have a question. Yeah. I don't have a comment. No, I just want to say that it sucks for Jody Fortson.
Yeah, they're down to 2 tight ends at this point now. I mean, they did have 4. And you're looking at Kelce and Noah Gray right now because of Blake Bell. He didn't play, obviously, with that injury. I'm sure he'll be back sooner rather than later.
When are you going to pay me on that Noah Gray bet? You still waiting? Wait,
Noah Gray's number 2 now, man. He's tight end. He's TE2 until Blake Bell comes back.
You think he's getting 15 catches
this year? No. It's out of the question. But, again, Fortson kind of stole Noah's thunder. You know what I'm saying? Like, was Noah Gray going to be one of those guys, one catch here? The Chiefs, they're not going to get the one seed like they probably were in the past. But, you know, that last game of the year, you're playing the JV. Noah Gray's, you know, shining for 4 catches. It's not going to happen, though. It's not going to happen. You won this one.
I agree. But you know what I would like?
But he's tight end too now.
I don't want anything. I don't want any money. All I want you to say is hey, 610 listeners.
You're not getting anything because we're splitting the bet now.
That's what I was going to say. I just want you to say, Carrington, we're even. That's all right. I want you to say.
Carrington, we're even.
Thank you. That's all. Rob, you hear that?
But we're not done yet. We still got more of the season.
Okay.
For Noah's emergence in week 9.
Yeah, I'm sure. Text line. Did you hear what? So stop texting me, hey, when's Carrington going to pay you? We're even. We're square on this bet. Right now, Jay Binkley joining us in studio. Bink, I'm actually going to keep you a couple segments. So this one's going to be Chiefs, and then the next segment, we're just going to pat Missouri on the back for the day that they're going to have here in about an hour or so.
Oh, you're confident, huh?
I'm very confident. I want to play this audio for you. This is Bob Fesco earlier today on Fesco in the Morning. He says that the Chiefs are interested in Whitney Mercilus.
People I've talked to yesterday, they are interested in Whitney Mercilus, and they're going to make a run at him. They have a roster spot open, obviously, with Jody Fortson's injury right now. They haven't filled that yet. And so because they do have that roster spot open, it makes it very easy for the Chiefs to be interested in bringing in Whitney Mercilus. We're 2 weeks away now from the trade deadline, right? And as we talked about last week, look for defensive linemen in a potential trade for the Chiefs. Don't be out there thinking running back or stuff like that. They know where their deficiencies are right now. Well, if you don't have to go out there and make a trade and you can sign Whitney Mercilus off the street because you have the opportunity with a roster spot available right now, that allows you to keep that trade collateral maybe for something else down the line. Maybe something else pops down the line and you could add a free agent defensive end and you can add maybe a defensive tackle potentially through a trade. And so what I've been told is that the Chiefs are 100% interested in Whitney Mercilus. They're going to have conversations with him.
The Chiefs are 100% interested in Whitney Mercilus. Carrington is 100% interested in Whitney Mercilus. Rob is a hater because that's what Rob does. Rob loves to throw a wet blanket on any amount of joy that I have on this show.
He really does.
That's his role. That's his role on this show, is to throw a wet blanket over any excitement that I have. I don't want you to follow in Rob's footsteps. Are you interested in Whitney Mercilus?
100%. 100%. Because when you're throwing, he would get over $1 million because he's had over 7 years in the NFL. So a little over $1 million. That's nothing for the Chiefs. They're up against the cap at what, $2.8 million under the cap. They could afford this move. I've always liked Whitney Mercilus. It's better than nothing. Like right now, this defense needs any kind of jolt in the arm. Whitney Mercilus is a good dude. They can kind of, I know the Chiefs are working out several other guys for practice squad now. Whitney Mercilus makes sense to me because it's like Josh Gordon. It's a no risk thing to have him on your football team. So I'm 100% for Whitney Mercilus, because when you're a defense and you're kind of looking around and you're wondering, all right, what changes can we make other than put Juan Thornhill at safety, get Willie Gay to play a little bit more snaps, maybe get Chris Jones back. What's the best guy in the market right now? It's Whitney Mercilus.
You got to try to find some juice, because I don't know right now from a pass rush standpoint if there's a whole lot of juice. You missed on getting Ingram in the offseason. You should have got Justin Houston this offseason. You're trying to figure out a little bit of a spark.
And they love the blitz. They blitzed 68 times, which is ninth in the NFL. They don't hit the quarterback. They're 20th. They've got 20 quarterback hits, which is actually 13th in the NFL. Problem with that is they're not bringing the quarterback down, because they're last in sacks. And so they're trying. Like, they clearly want to, because all the numbers would point to the Chiefs love to try to get after the quarterback. They're just not doing it. Whitney Mercilus, one of those guys on a rotational basis, could provide a little bit of juice. And again, it costs you nothing. You're this far. Windows in the NFL close at certain points. Like, you push all in. I mean, the Chiefs are in that situation where they have the chips, and it's about pushing the chips to the center of the table at this point. You continue. I mean, you have Travis Kelce still doing his thing, over 30 years old. Tyreek Hill's in his prime. Patrick Mahomes, you know, young, 26. A lot of these players still in their football prime. Push in before they get too old.
I just look at it. If you think that Alex Okafor, or if you think that Whitney Mercilus is better than Alex Okafor, you should go get Whitney Mercilus.
100%. I would take Whitney Mercilus over Alex Okafor any day.
I don't think he's better than Frank Clark, even when we have disappointments. He's not better than Mike Dana. But if you is looking at your roster, if you come to the conclusion that Mercilus is better than Alex Okafor, that's a move that you got to go out there and make. I don't know if you can justify not making it if you think he's an improvement over what you already have, given your inability to go get to the quarterback.
Would you take Luther Burden to Missouri, or would you take Whitney Mercilus on the Chiefs?
Luther Burden.
I'll say it's 6 o'clock tonight. What news do you want to see hit Twitter first?
If those are my two options, I would definitely take Luther Burden. If those are my options, I don't want to sell it like I'm encouraged about the defensive line based off what we saw in the game against the Washington football team. I'm not. That's just one game. But from what Tyron said about Frank Clark, and I can play it for you if you missed it, what it is, if they're going to start getting the good version of Frank Clark, they got a chance to turn this thing around. It's not that surprising to me that in 2019, whenever the defense really started to hit its stride, it hit its stride because Frank Clark got healthy and Frank Clark started becoming a major contributor. Here's Tyrann Mathieu after the game.
Yeah, he's heating up, man. You know, Frank has dealt with a lot, you know, a lot of different emotions, and you know, to see him still into it, to see him still buying in, you know, to the coaching and everything that's going on. You could tell that he's, you know, he's more focused than ever. And I think, you know, he's somebody that we're going to need, you know, going forward. So, you know, I thought he played well today, probably not as well as he wanted to. But if he could keep stacking them, you know, obviously stay healthy, you know, he's going to be a big reason why we can get back to, you know, the kind of defense, you know, I think we could be.
To me, any equation that we have for the Chiefs figuring out the defense starts and ends with Frank Clark. You can make some other changes. You can change Juan Thornhill and Daniel Sorensen. You can make the swap at linebacker. If they can go Fenton over Charvarius Ward whenever he gets back, there's a lot of different fixes that they can make. Everything to fixing this defense around starts up front and starts with them getting much more consistent pressure. They'd be better at stopping the run. They'd be better at forcing turnovers if you started getting pressure too. We talk a lot about the Chiefs giving the ball away. They've done a lot of that this year. They also don't take the ball away either, and that creates as much of a problem as them giving possessions away too. They went 14 straight turnovers in between their defense forcing them. Minus 14 over a three-game sample based on you giving the football away, but your defense also not being able to take it away. Every equation that we have for this defense being able to turn the corner starts and ends with Frank Clark playing substantially better.
Frank Clark, just take a little bit of a T.J. Watt. You know, swing those arms. Get that ball. Knock it out from the quarterback. I will say this. I thought they were robbed. Speaking of Frank Clark, I think they were robbed against Buffalo. That unnecessary roughness that resulted in an interception. That's what they need. Like, that would have, you know, ended that streak. That is the stuff they need from Frank Clark. He did have two quarterback hits this past week. Again, take it with a grain of salt. This Washington line was missing some players on it. But motivation level, he should be completely motivated. The money he's making, the fact you're on this team, you won a Super Bowl 2 years ago, you got a 53-man roster, you know, relying on you. You know, it shouldn't take the honey badger to motivate you. I mean, just looking at your bank account ought to motivate you enough. Listen, we all go to work. We all put time in and stuff. Like, there's nobody kicking me in the butt or kicking you in the butt to do better. You know, Frank Clark, man, take this upon yourself. This is your opportunity. You have a short lifespan in the NFL. You got to take these opportunities. When I hear about, you know, getting motivated, what more motivation do you need than the money he's getting paid? There should be no more motivation than that plus the football team he's on. So when I hear about guys maybe needing motivation, it's kind of hard to stomach, to be honest with you.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get your thoughts on the AFC and how crowded it is and how wide open it is. I want to play for you something that happened yesterday on the Nate Taylor show, something that you and Nate said, and we'll talk about Missouri. Missouri Luther has an opportunity to get a top 10 player in football
Herb
and the number wide receiver in the country. He's making his decision in less than 90 minutes. We'll ask Bink where he thinks he's headed. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Back in on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Right now, though, having a little bit of fun with my guy, Jay Binkley. He is joining us in studio. We'll talk about the AFC and how wide open it is. But first, I want to play this audio from you. This is from the Nate Taylor show. You were on it last night.
All Chiefs fans are probably asking at this point, as many Chiefs fans are raising their hands like Tyrod, can we just be average? Well, you need Snead, Gay, Bolton, Wharton, Dana, Thornhill. You need all those guys to get to a place where they are above average players. And then, as we saw, the turnovers were not by Chris Jones. The turnovers were not by Frank Clark or Tyrann Mathieu. That was all young player led, and it helped them get the win yesterday.
Do you agree? Watching this team, do you agree that the improvements that the defense could potentially make between now and the end of the season are primarily going to come from some of the younger guys? Are going to come from your Fentons, your Wards, your Danas, your Whartons? Or do you think it's guys more like Jaron Reed and guys more like Frank Clark sort of picking up the slack and just playing better than they played so far this season?
I think they need the big dogs like Chris Jones to return, Jaron Reed to be as advertised. He is getting to the quarterback and has some a decent amount of quarterback hits this year, but just show production. But, yeah, if Ward and Fenton, those guys are nice. Ward is not even on the field at this point. Listen, Mike Dana, those guys, getting production is great. But you're really going to be better when you – it's Chris Jones, man. I mean, we're talking about going in the season before he, you know, is flipped out to the end. We're talking about the second most dangerous interior pass rusher in the NFL already on your football team. Now they need Chris Jones. They need Jaron Reed to be as advertised. And Frank Clark to come back and be the person that you thought he was. Having that young talent's great, but they need that core players of veterans that have been there and done that to really step up and guide this team.
Yeah, to me, those are the guys that are going to carry you. Obviously, yeah. You want your secondary players, and not secondary's position group, but you want your tier two and tier three guys to elevate their play. But this team is going to get back to the Super Bowl because your big dogs are the one that carries.
100%.
You. They're going to get there because Frank Clark finishes with 9.5 sacks this year and goes on a tear.
You're not getting there with Turk Wharton meeting a David Tyree type catch.
Yeah, you're getting there because Chris Jones gets back healthy and plays at a high level. That's ultimately what's going to get you to that next level. Speaking of the next level, I think the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the AFC. I think they've proven that over the first six games of the season.
Really?
I think that 2 through 5 is really pretty interchangeable.
Well, you say that, though.
I think Buffalo is the most complete team out of every team in the AFC.
One good win. Chiefs.
And they, I mean, and they hammered one good Kansas win. City. And
I'm
they
just
hammered
saying,
them, though.
You got beat by the Steelers at home. You get beat by the Titans in Nashville. The Chiefs, I'll give it to them. That was their best win of the year. Played 3 backup quarterbacks before that. Again, real? Not real. I mean, they've had one good win.
I don't really count yesterday as a loss for them. I don't really count it as a loss. I know technically they lost.
Well, if that's the case, the Chiefs have 2 more wins.
No, that's fair. And I get it. I think Buffalo is more complete than where Kansas City is right now.
I thought so too until last night.
I think if you look at all the teams in the AFC, offensively, defensively, special teams, I think they're more complete than all of those teams. So I would rank Buffalo 1 in the AFC, Chargers 2, Chiefs 3 is how I would rank all 3 of those teams right now.
Now, I'll give it to Buffalo only because their schedule is so weak.
It's very weak.
I mean, you're playing Jets a couple times, the Jags. I mean, it is so weak, they're going to get that first seed because they don't need to be great, just very good. And I think they can get to that point. And they did beat the Chiefs the most soundest, of course. That was their one good win this year. No, I'm putting the Chiefs at number 2 because I look at that Chargers game. You know what really happened in that game without the turnovers, the interception, the fumble by Clyde. I do feel the Chiefs should have won that game. Mahomes is better than Justin Herbert, despite what Jimmy Johnson says. I mean, look at the stats. Mahomes is pretty much better than him in every category but interceptions, and we can argue about some of those interceptions. The Chiefs gave the Ravens, they had the ball at the 34-yard line of the Ravens. They fumble it. Again, they took a Justin Tucker NFL record field goal to beat the Lions. There are so many weaknesses and deficiencies with all these teams in the AFC, including the Chiefs.
I agree.
Including the Chiefs and including the Bills. What I'm saying is the perfect teams don't exist in the AFC. Right now, the most well-rounded teams in the NFL reside in the NFC. Those are the better football teams than anything in the AFC.
I agree with you, and that's why to me, and I know I just played it a little bit with Buffalo, so I'm not exempt from this. I try to avoid the what-if game because you can do that for everybody. Sure. You can do it for Kansas City. If they don't turn the ball over against the Ravens, they win. If 100%. They don't have that play at the end of the Chargers game, I think they win it. If you're the Ravens, Ravens should have lost to the Lions, should have lost to Kansas City, should have lost to the Colts too. So I'm just trying to evaluate it on what do I see? What do the numbers tell me? How do I feel about these
things? Mine would be Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, and then the Titans, then the Chargers. They'd be my top 5.
I like the Ravens. I give the Ravens a lot of credit.
I put them at 3. John Harbaugh's coach of the year. I don't even think there's any question at this point that he's not the coach of the year, dealing with all his injuries. He's losing your top 3 running backs, man. I mean, you know, doing what he's doing, yes. He had some fluky games, yes. But I will say this. Lamar Jackson fumbled twice in that Raiders game, including in overtime, where they would have been a win over the Raiders for the Ravens. So they lost the game the way they've been winning some of these. But Harbaugh is the coach of the year.
We've been talking about all these JV stories when the varsity story is sitting there. Rob, hit my music. The number 6 recruit in the country is deciding where he's going to play college football today. The top high school wide receiver is deciding where he's going to go to school today.
And the hats are on the table.
Rob, at 6 o'clock, Luther Burden from East St. Louis High School is going to decide between the University of Alabama, the University of Georgia, and the University of Missouri. Rob, turn it up!
Too bad he can't play defense.
M-I-Z! Let's go, Rob! Where's he going?
You know what?
Say Georgia. Say Georgia. Crush his dreams.
Georgia's probably the long shot.
Yeah,
the
long shot.
Missouri and Oklahoma, I think, would be tied in this situation. He was committed to Oklahoma in the beginning. I'll tell you this, though. Lincoln Riley, just the wide receiver train they have at Oklahoma. The Heisman trophies. Caleb Williams. You're looking at a guy that's going to play 2 games. He's in the Heisman conversation now. He's going to be there next year.
He doesn't even have the hat on the
table. Sam
Horn,
the new recruit, is great. But if you're Luther Burden, don't you want to go play with Flash? Don't you want to go play with the Heisman? Listen, I'd love to see him in Columbia.
He's going to play with Sam Horn, who's going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Wait, after saying all that, though, I think he's choosing Missouri.
That's
if you're saying all that,
He wants to be the big dog.
Turn it up, Rob.
Luther and Sam Horn.
Text line 913-576.
It's too bad he can't play defense, though.
You can't tell me most of your listeners want or care to hear about Missouri's recruiting.
I don't care what y'all want.
The Missouri ones do.
I don't care about that.
We're hurting Columbia.
They heard all what Pickles told me he's heard us down there before.
I'm so excited about tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm actually going to stay later at Bink at Night, and I'm going to host with you until he makes a decision.
Will people start talking about these recruits instead of Drinkwitz defense?
I've never talked about Drinkwitz defense. Why would I do that?
I mean, you talk about the Chargers' defense.
I care about my mental health. Why
can't talk about things that don't exist.
Is that the worst run defense? Let's be honest. Is that the worst run defense you've ever seen, pro or college?
Missouri is the worst defense I've ever watched.
Okay.
Like, they make the 0-3 Chiefs seem like the purple.
It's too bad Luther plays on defense. The top two recruits at Missouri play offense.
The funniest thing now is, like, the top text. This is Dora Green Beckham part two. If Luther Burden can have a similar career to Dorial Green Beckham, I will. Okay. That's
except
fine.
Dorial Green Beckham was in state. Luther technically isn't.
He started at Cardinal Ritter. I count him as in state.
Yeah, but he's graduating Illinois, though.
I'll count him. Okay. I'll count him. count him. You know what I mean? I'll count him as an in state guy.
You count Zeke Elliott too, Missouri?
He didn't go to Missouri. I don't care. I don't care about Ezekiel Elliott.
Got to shut the borders down.
I don't care about him. I hate him, actually. Coming up, we'll get back to talking about the AFC and how this is the most wide open it's been in a decade. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.